This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to Monday's episode of the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. I am your host on this occasion, Craig Fowler, and I am joined to talk about the Scottish Cup fourth round weekend by Ewan Taylor.
Hello, Craig.
And Tony Anderson.
Hello, Craig. How are we doing?
I'm good. We were supposed to be meeting in person at Tony's house, but Ewan, you fucked us. Tell the people how you fucked us.
Sorry, I took my car key to work accidentally. And that sent in chain a series of events which were unpleasant, and we've had to record it remotely. So sorry for that. I feel especially bad for you, Craig, because I've stopped you from sort of rubbing Tony's face in it in person for yesterday's result. So apologies for that.
I was going to say you wasn't stopped me from leaving the house, but that's not necessarily true. I could have went on my own accord at any point up until 7 at night.
When you first messaged saying I've got my car keys to work. And you didn't say anything for a wee while after. I was like, so?
Tony, are you were the same as me then. I was like, I really felt like going, and? Like, dot, okay?
good for you.
You know, I took my car key to work without the car. That was the point. And the car needed the car key to operate and to ferry kids around. So that was the reason. And I do it pretty much every couple of months, I would say. Just on a sort of rolling basis. It really annoys everybody in my life. So, yeah, that's I've got it out of the way a couple of months, I think.
A few weeks ago, I had to cancel a podcast because I just locked myself in my house. You can't come because no one can get in. I'm actually stranded. I'd ended up, I was going to get a taxi to Mandy's work, but once we decided we moved to the podcast the next day, I just walked. Took a nice wee walk all the way to Cannon Mills, but we all make mistakes.
We do.
And there's been plenty of people making mistakes at Easter Road yesterday as well, Fowler, wasn't it?
That would have been a very good link, but I forgot to tell everybody that if you're tuning in hoping to hear all about how Aberdeen are the big losers of the weekend, losing to Darvel, which if anybody's listening, having watched the game and is very confused, it's half seven. The game wasn't kicked off yet. I'm just projecting. So if that happens and you're thinking, right, okay, winners and losers, Aberdeen have got to be the biggest loser, or perhaps the biggest winners, maybe they win 13-0, who knows? Then
I know, they don't.
Yes, then unfortunately that game has not taken place yet, and my DeLorean isn't working. So that's, in fact, Ewan's got the keys for it. That's it.
Ten goals from Majovski, Lazio-bound Majovski. My word, when I saw that. That is just not true. There's no way he can play in Serie A.
No.
So we're not going to talk about that game, but we will talk about every other game that took place in the Scottish Cup. Of course, there were four postponements, which will be played at a later date. Mm. Although we could say that Linlithgow Rose were a loser because they are likely to lose out on a bit of money from having a sold-out hospitality for a weekend game that myself and Ewan were actually going to be a part of along with Craig Cairns, and then moving the game to Tuesday night where there's going to be a lot less people wanting hospitality, let's face it, including me. Mm. Ewan Graham and Craig Cairns.
Yes.
So
yes.
There was that.
But I really felt for them, eh? I mean, because it's like biggest day of the year stuff, you know, and this is how you, how you win fans. It's how you get the kids along to the game in Linlithgow. That is like the start of a journey, and you get a full crowd, and that's how you get people hooked. And obviously you get sort of guys like yourself and Ewan wanting to go around and sample the hospitality. It's good. You think, oh, I might go and do that again, you know, like, or like for us, maybe go and do a terrace one there or something like that. But there's all these sort of different permutations for a club when they get these draws, and to have it taken away for you, I did feel for them.
I know. I'd have to say that the club have been excellent in terms of like communicating. Like they sort of told us quite early on in the week that it's unlikely the game was going to go ahead because, you know, the pitch was frozen and the weather forecast and so on. And they've actually been really good in terms of, yeah, I've got a ticket for the game tomorrow. I think Sean's going as well. But just a regular ticket, but they've been pretty good the whole way through. So I've been quite impressed, and hopefully Motherwell to come.
We could say that winner is yourself, Ewan, because you got a free pint just out of my existence.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I don't know if we're allowed to plug that pub because it's not one of our sponsors.
we haven't heard anything back from Green King about them sponsoring us again, so go ahead and plug.
Yeah, well, it was the Footballer Cricketers Arms, the management there took a shine to Craig, or recognised Craig from his TV appearances, and we all got a free round of pints from it. So
there you go.
That was very pleasant.
Losers in the same pub could be the group of boys who were sitting opposite us who were let down for £1,200 for all of them together by Ross County failing to beat Hamilton.
Yeah.
And they actually shouted over at me at one point, saying, we can cash out for £250 or do we let it ride for the £1,200? I was just like, immediately, like, that is far too much pressure to put on me. I am not answering that question.
Can't have that. I'm sorry.
No.
So Green King haven't been back in touch after the fucking write-up we gave them? Unbelievable.
After Sean and Rob treated it like the Mangrate advert.
I mean, it was on non-stop going all the way through. They got an entire episode,
they constantly, they two pricks constantly made reference to a different fucking product. That's not Green King.
Ho, 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 Green King.
If anything, they could have taken that run with it, but they didn't. So they're lost, I would say.
I don't think I've actually mentioned that we're doing winners and losers on this podcast, so we're not going through all 11 games, but we will look to touch on them all. If we don't get to them all in this podcast, we will then get to the remaining few on the Patreon. So that's patreon.com/terracepodcast if you want to listen to that, and it'll be on our £2 a month tier. But let's get to the big match at the weekend, the tie of the round, the All Premiership clash, one of only two, I believe, that took place. And that was Hibs against Hearts at Easter Road. Hearts running out 3-0 winners in the end, but it wasn't all plain sailing for the Jambos, who, similar to the game at Tynecastle recently, had to work a lot harder than a lot of Hearts fans maybe would have liked, maybe some would have even expected. But ultimately, they get the victory, and it's another miserable day for Hibs. And we should probably start with that, as Hibs is the big losers. Tony?
I don't know if I would say that Hart did have to work hard for it. I mean, they didn't really have to do anything, and they still run out 3-0 winners, which is pretty galling for everyone at Easter Road. But it was... I want to be careful here because I think it's easy and I enjoy sticking the boot into Lee Johnson. That's something I like to do. That's a pastime I have. But I don't think he can maybe take the blame yesterday. I don't think Hibs were tactically poor. I don't think I was against the lineup at all, really. He put Stevenson into midfield, and that was kind of forced due to injuries for a lot of the midfield. And I was pleased that Porteous was playing at the back personally, alongside Rocky. And outside both boxes, Hibs were probably the better team for the majority of the game. But in the crux moments, and because the team's so low on confidence, and that lies at Johnson's door. Don't get me wrong. Overall, that his work is led up to this problem. Is that the second any sort of issues are coming there, like Hibs just completely folded against Hearts again. They brought in Jimmy Jago. Jagow, so as I mean, he's already an Australian nickname. He's all born with an Australian nickname.
He's basically that Foster's advert for years ago, but it was Craig. It's Jimmy Jagow.
I saw someone on Twitter saying when he signed that that's like what you would say if the police caught you doing something and you just had to make up a name quickly. Jimmy Jago. And also
make up a occupation, and that being a footballer.
Yeah. The shades of Gary O'Connor there. Jimmy, the game absolutely zoomed past him. It was far too fast. And I like, don't get me wrong, I've got my gut instinct from watching it. I think he's shit. But I don't think that's obviously fair. And I accept that over 90 minutes you shouldn't judge a player, blah, 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 blah. But at the same time, but it's... It shows you where Hibs are, that they're having to parachute a guy in for, like, possibly a game to keep the season alive, to get the fans back on side. They're having to parachute someone in on a Friday to play in centre midfield. And obviously, because we've, like, the transfer window, yes, we've managed to get rid of players, but we've not managed... The squad's weaker than what it was because we've not added anyone. So even if you don't think these players that we had are any good... They still were numbers in the squad, and now they're running out. We had to parachute someone in, and just top to bottom at Easter Road, everything's going terribly wrong off the pitch, on the pitch. And I'm surprised Johnson, they haven't given Johnson the bullet simply because to sort of maybe get the. Because otherwise, it's really going to the board now. I mean, Ron Gordon's taking a lot of stick now. Mm-hmm. The board's taking a lot of stick. All the setup, that seems to be the big thing. And Johnson's probably getting a lot less stick than you would imagine. A manager who's got back-to-back 3-0 defeats against Hearts and has won 2 in his last 11 or 12 or whatever it is at the moment.
Yeah, and he's a thoroughly unlikable man.
and he's thoroughly unlikable. And that's obviously my biggest issue with Lee Johnson personally. As I say, I don't think I wouldn't put it at Lee Johnson's door yesterday. Well, no, I mean, as I said, it's 10 years built up to this, but I think specifically yesterday, I wouldn't be saying that was Johnson's fault. And I just think they're just a soft underbelly of the players. They couldn't deal with it when things went against them.
Well, something I was going to bring up, and you can do this. This could be a winner and a loser. So the winner would be the Hearts recruitment department or recruitment team or whatever you want to call it. And loser would be the Hibs version of that.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the kind of difference between the sides, first of all, they're both massive squads. Both got loads of players. But Hearts have got, and both teams, fair enough, Hibs have got their injury issues as well. But obviously so have Hearts. Hearts have got 4 players on severe long-term injuries and another couple of players missing as well, including Peter Haran, who for many games against Hibs was always quite a good stopper and somebody that could help control games in the middle of the park, which is something that Hearts actually, I think, lacked a bit in this contest. But if you just kind of look at the strength, like you saw the Tony pointed this out before the game, just looking at the Hibs team and looking at the Hearts team and then looking at the benches and thinking,
my word,
what do we do if we have to change it? Hearts made 5 changes, with probably the exception of Alan Forrest, who was just really coming on as another body after Michael Smith's race had been run. I think the other 4 had real kind of big positive impacts. Stephen Humphreys provided a much needed presence up top. He also had 2 assists for the last 2 goals. Stephen Kingsley managed to do what Alex Cochrane couldn't, and that was keep Ellie Yuhan a bit quiet.
Yeah, because Cochrane really struggled against you, and you had them on toast, especially at the start of the second half.
Yeah, yeah, and Cochrane had also been booked as well, so it really became a bit of a precarious situation for us. Kingsley came on, and with the exception of Yuhan hitting the post, which kind of came out of nowhere, Yuhan really didn't do much for the rest of the game after Kingsley came on. And there was also the substitution of George Grant for the very ineffective Barry Mackay, and that gave Hearts a bit more of a foothold in the middle of the pitch as well, and there wasn't quite as much Hibs pressure after that. And Nathaniel Atkinson, who has barely been seen recently and hasn't been playing pretty well, but he came on and had a decent outing as well. So the Hearts got better with their substitutions. Hibs, on the other hand, could only bring on Harry McCurdy, or at least that was the only player that Johnson felt trustworthy enough to bring on. And considering Harry McCurdy's career at Hibs so far, that tells you a lot.
I'm pretty much done with Hibs for this season, I think. I've got hospitality tickets for Saturday, and I've just asked for my money back earlier. but nobody's answering the phones or answering emails. It seems at Hibs for today. So my mate was emailing them. So we'll see what happens. I think my mate's wife works for Hearts, and she does the events there. And she was saying, I think they'll maybe move the game for you. So I might just be like, can I have that next season? When we play Aberdeen next season, can I go then? I don't really want to go, and it's like you want to go, and like when there's a bit of buzz and you're doing the hospitality, but I'll just be probably start taking things out on some small child who's serving me, which is rude, and I don't want to do that. So I don't know where to turn it. And as I said, Hearts were Hearts were poor. I would go as far as saying, and they won 3-0, and obviously Sibic with a great goal at the end. But
he's a big winner as well. He was the best. He was certainly Hearts' best player on the day, maybe even the best player on the park in general. And then he finishes it off with, I haven't nearly scored an outrageous goal. He then finishes it off with perhaps even a more outrageous one by dinking it over the goalkeeper. For his first goal in, I think it was 4 years, Red.
He did say himself, I noticed, but I mean, I was going to say anyway that he really scores that goal because of how bad his touch is. I saw that he said that, but that's obviously because it drew Marshall out a wee bit, because it turned out to be one of those touches that's sort of perfect, but he didn't mean to hit it that far in front of himself. Worked out.
And of course, despite everything, obviously Hearts get, as always, just the massive spawny jammy bit of luck when Devlin fouls in the build-up, and the only reason it can't be checked is because Rocky Bashuri heads it wide. So even then, we can't even get use VAR because of a header. And it would have absolutely got chopped off, obviously, because it's the cleanest foul you'll ever fucking see. It can't be checked. Oh, well, brilliant. What's the fucking point in it? Because of a fucking header. You can't check it. What a load of nonsense.
VAR has had to be explained to Tony this afternoon in the group chat. that's the thing with VAR. There's loads of things it doesn't check. If you get a free kick by diving and then score the free kick, that doesn't get checked or things like that. So it's a bit daft. But anyway, I would finish that one. And that it was a foul, but what a goal from Shankland. What a goal.
Terrific goal. And they could also. Another loser. Well, the Hibs defence, the state of the Hibs defence in general, because
it's been neglected for 7 years. I was talking about this earlier. It's barely been touched for 7 years. Darren McGregor was still playing last season, and he's been on the bench this season. And then obviously Hanlon is they're just neglected. We signed about 16 players. What make one of them a centre half? doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because what actually is going to happen there? Because Porteous presumably away this week, you would think. Bashiri, that was pretty serious injury. I don't know. I don't think it's been announced yet.
Oxygen in his leg was strapped, so it doesn't look good.
Didn't look great. Paul Hanlon's Paul Hanlon, and Will Fish. So, what's the plan there?
I think there's a lot of chat about that guy for something one that Hibs and Aberdeen are after.
Oh, Bailey, right?
I think Hibs will have to sort of make that happen now, regardless. To get him in, and maybe I saw we were linked to another guy, huge guy. I think he had like Aslan tattooed on his stomach from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I just saw that. And apparently, we've been linked to him. He likes a goal, that defender. I forget his name, but I think we will be in the market. But there's also, who knows what else to do? They might just sell Kevin Nisbet tomorrow. I mean, that could happen in the next week. So I am getting to the stage right off territory for this season, and just but unfortunately I get forced to watch it all because I have to do this.
Sorry, Tony. You can still finish top set, but that's the thing. Obviously it slightly depends on the Aberdeen game, which is about to kick off, but that could be a real bout to knock the other guy out on Saturday. You would think even if Aberdeen get a decent result tonight, you would think both managers are in such a precarious position that if one loses that, then
El Sacco
them away.
I was going to say this is what I want, but it's not actually what I want. What I want is both of them to continue in their current jobs forever, really. But a bonus second prize would be if the game is so bad and it's like the worst 0-0 ever, fans of both teams are absolutely raging, and then both get sacked. That would be very funny.
At full time. Cormac and Ron Gordon chatting up in the stands, and just you see them nodding their heads, shaking hands. And then just little text out of the to get out.
the lights go down, and you just hear, "Here comes the money, 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 money." And then they two just walk out in the field and just announce together, "We're making a change."
Pretty scunnered with the old Hibernian FC. It's safe to say.
And very quickly, winner Robin Olsen for finally winning a game at Easter Road, and loser Ryan Porteous for losing probably his last game for Hibs and not winning an Edinburgh Derby.
Does it count for Robin Olsen, though, is the only thing I would say, because he did have a touchline ban. So I would say
he was just in the stand. I think if you say that
his influence,
if you say Poaches has never won a derby because the games that we've won, well, he wasn't playing, then surely that Robbie Nielsen one has to be the same.
I think so.
I'm glad we've solved that.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say that Robbie Nielsen had more of an influence in this game than Ryan Poaches did to these various times sitting on the bench, but I digress. Let's move on. Ewan, me and Tori threw out quite a few winners and losers there from the first match we've talked about. Who is your first winner or loser?
I thought a winner could be aviation enthusiasts that are keen to witness pigs flying, because Callum Davidson played four at the back in a game for the first time ever.
That was why I looked on Y Scout. I wanted to find out the last time. They played with a back four in the second half of the Livingston game, so that was why he kind of stuck for it for this one. But it's the first time that he's played with a back four since the first game of the season against Hibs from the start.
Yeah, and I believe it's been St. John's fans have been crying out for that. Not entirely sure they have the personnel to do it, right enough. But they probably give a better account of themselves than they have.
I don't have the personnel to do it, because when you make your entire life around having three defenders at the back of your team, then it's going to be an issue.
Yes. And one of them is still,
Gordon.
Gordon. So that's a problem. But it wasn't the best game all round. I think St. John's did fine. Rangers just did enough, and it's basically followed the pattern of every Rangers game almost since Michael Beale's come back, and that it's just been Rangers have done enough, and it feels like they're in a holding pattern waiting for new players to come in that might change things up a wee bit.
So results have improved under Beale. So what's the key difference? Because Rangers still look quite kind of weak for what we know that Rangers can be when they're at their best. But what's the improvement that's at least led to the upturn in results?
I think probably the main change has been playing Fashion Sakala, to be honest. And it's not just that he himself is playing well, but it's probably just having an extra guy that can do things on the park. That was what we didn't really have under Van Bronckhorst. Like Sakala probably would have been.
Do you think his enthusiasm rubs off on other players, Ewan?
Yeah, no, I think it does. But it's also just the fact, you know, he can score goals, or he can create them, or he can create a bit of chaos. Whereas before, you'd have had probably Tillman playing where he's playing, and then just another midfielder playing where Tillman was, and has been playing, and you're just a wee bit less creative and slightly less likely to do something. So it's not been great, and you know, there are definitely parallels to when Van Bronckhorst came in and had a very good run of games in terms of results, but the performances were really bad in that run, yet the results were good. I mean, this time I think the performances haven't been quite as bad as that, but not far off. But it's just, yeah, it's probably just having a guy that can get you numbers a wee bit, you know, playing just an extra one of those makes a big difference.
Ryan Jack's return to the team in form, I think, has had that bit of an impact on Rangers when he's been at his best. And I think you're right, because it looks like Beale, he's went for sort of his guys. Jack was a disciple of Gerrard and Beale. He was a very popular player then, and obviously Sakala was someone they brought in before Van Bronckhorst was there. So it's like he's went back to his tried and trusted, which makes sense. Well, he can't get any of his own players in and guys who know how he wants to work and how to play. Todd Canwell signed today, didn't he?
That's the start of it. So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up playing. Probably, but hopefully in the sort of midfield three rather than in the front three. Because I don't think, again, he's a better footballer than he's a better footballer than Sakala, but Sakala, you would want to take him out of the team, because Cantwell could end up being the sort of Ryan Kent replacement, depending on what happens there. But you know, he's not going to score loads and loads of goals, I don't think. He's probably a bit more of a creative player, but Rangers really need somebody that actually puts the ball in the net.
Someone who's going to put some numbers.
Yeah, surprisingly, Borna Barisic did in this game, hit a ball that was moving quite competently, which I was shocked by, but it was kind of spinning weirdly.
Some finish, maybe.
Absolute cracker.
Ewan, I was going to ask you, because the
first goal in 2 years, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes, it was, yeah. It's not the last goal he scored, but we do know that Bonabaric's Rangers career was pretty much launched by a particular goal that he scored that was a free kick against St Mirren. Any chance we get the old Bonner back after this one?
I don't think so. I think he's too far gone. I think he's just too flawed a footballer, to be honest. And he was getting older. I can't see it. I mean, I'm desperate for Ruud van Nistelrooy to get in the team as and when he's fit. So that, and I think that is what's going to happen. But you know, Barisic is a confidence player, which is not great for a defender. But he is. So you might have a wee upturn in form. And he did start the season, you know, quite well for him. But no, I think he's too far gone. I would expect him to sort of follow the team as the season goes on, and then probably leave in the summer. I think he's only got a year left. So
he's got the personality of a winger.
He does, yeah, and that's the problem, because you know, he just loses confidence and then forgets that people can go past him at the back post, which is very, very annoying.
Other players move, yeah.
Yes, it's actually annoying he does that. I think his career's in the way out, but it was awfully lovely goal. We sort of just crossed it into the into the corner. It was beautiful. But no, yeah, I wouldn't say it was by no means a vintage Rangers performance, but yeah, just did enough as Rangers have sort of been doing pretty much in every game since people came back.
I think Dan Phillips had another good game for St Johnstone as a winner. Felt vindicated because I was saying last week on the pod that I think him and McLennan just have to play for St Johnstone. You just see the both of them what they bring to that team. Yeah, and obviously, and Phillips is available, so they can actually pass the ball and keep it rather than just knocking it up the line. But still, somehow Nicky Clark's never sub. I don't know how that happened. Why are you on the bench now?
You've gone to like your back four, so you can sort of play 4-4-2, and then they play Halberg. It's like off Stevie May. It's like, what are you doing? Just play Stevie May. And like, especially because in the game, what was that, November, early November, when we Rangers lost to St Johnstone, and Stevie May and Nicky Clark were tremendous in that game, both of them. Yeah. Just do that. Like, surely that's a couple of
years ago. You've done it before. Yeah.
It's like, wild as well what? That they're trying to spend money to sign Jordan White.
Yeah,
obviously you don't want to use him because he loves. He's never not going to play Stevie May, so he'll just come and sit on the bench. He's a confusing man, Cam Davidson. He's the one I do not know what's going on up there. I can never work him out week to week. I can't work out his transfer strategy. I can't work out if he's a good manager. You just sit there confused with Cam Davidson at all times.
Yeah, he's baffling. He's won two cups somehow as well. Yeah. So, yeah, very interesting. But I think that would be one of the weirdest transfers to ever happen.
Six figures for Jordan White. Why?
Why? I suspect it won't happen. But yeah, that's just baffling.
Especially if he's now going to be playing a 4-3-3, so you're only going to use one striker.
Yeah. It will happen.
Right, okay, it's my turn to get us started with a winner or loser, and I've got two here for the same game. Which one? Yeah, actually, I'll go for the more fun one. I'll go for the negative one, because that's me all over. Right, let's go for Chris Hamilton as a loser for this past weekend. The Dunfermline vice-captain, former Hearts player, he had the chance to put his side into the next round. Well, ultimately, would have been to put his side in the next round. But he managed to miss the target from about 3 yards out.
That was a really bad one.
That was a really bad one.
Because they played really well.
It looked like the Dunfermline played really well in the game, which you're presumably pretty happy with. But yeah, that was an absolute sitter.
Because like with Dunfermline, it's not. I mean, McPake's done pretty well, but a lot of the time their performances take a bit of heat. I always see when I read up about or I see what Craig Cairns is writing. And it's always that the fans aren't always overly enamoured in the style or the performance, and he's been getting a lot of results. But then this game, like, it looked like they were being a team above them in a division, and they were probably the better team in the group. But then, yeah, it cost it with a massive miss at the end there.
I'm not too sure if it's still the case now, but when I talked to Craig Cairns about Dunfermline, and that would have been, two or three weeks ago, they were the lowest scorers in League One in the top 8 or top It was top eight.
Wow, and so that's basically the whole league nearly.
But Kelty are now up into... Oh, sorry, it was top seven. And then Kelty are now in... Since then, Kelty are up into seventh, and then they scored one more goal than Montrose in sixth. But they're still the lowest scorers in the top five in Scotland's League One, and by some distance as well, because they've got 32, and the next lowest scorers in the top five are Alloa with 39.
He was quite... Yeah. I know he was a defender,
okay,
James.
Oh, okay, can you see why in this one with Chris Hamilton and Craig Whiting missing really big chances?
Yeah, yeah. But James McPake, I find it weird that he'd be like maybe a defensive manager, defence. I know he was a centre half, but he was a kamikaze centre half.
He really was.
He played with his heart on his sleeve. Like he was bad. So I would always think that I would picture him, his teams to maybe be more like a Neil Lennon team or something like that. You know, quite bombastic and aggressive. Rather than like stodgy and really hard to beat, but that would just be going by purely by personality there.
I should give some credit to Jamie Snedden in the Park Thistle goal. I was maybe going to go with him as the winner to kick us off for this one, because Whiting should probably do better because he shot us fairly down the middle, but Snedden still does excellently to...
Unbelievable reactions.
It's a terrific reflex save, and the penalty save as well is also very impressive.
Some really big penalty saves this week, obviously, because when we're the winner, I might as well just take over here, actually, for a winner for Trevor Carson at St Mirren. I mean, it looked like... I was actually looking up Trevor Carson's age before we got on here, and I didn't realise he was 34, because it feels like he's getting a lot better. I feel like he's improved dramatically this season.
It's the hair. He's got something. Makes him look better. It's probably again. I mean, has he had like a real like run of games? Illness, the thing that he had. I mean,
not really. Yeah. He seemed to have kind of fit into backup roles, but he's another kind of one of those. He's one of many that we've kind of said this season where you're looking at Dundee United and going, why not just him? Why did you sign the guys you signed? Like, because they're not any good. And you could have had, you know, probably could have had Xander Clark. You could have just kept Trevor Carson. Why have you done what you've done?
Yeah, because Trevor Carson, I would argue this season has probably been one of the better goalies in the league. Is that maybe taking it too far?
No, I definitely agree with that.
He's like, because I can barely think of a mistake he's made, and he's always, you'd think of him maybe as quite like kind of like a bland goalkeeper, but he's made some big saves this season as well, like match winning saves, and obviously St Mirren don't concede tons of goals, and they're hardly got like an incredible sort of defensive team in that. So I've been really impressed with him, and he's doing the Craig Gordon thing where he's just going to be, when he gets even better when he gets to like 36. 37, who knows? But that was a huge win for St Mirren. They looked like I watched a bit of that game. I managed to catch some of it, and Dundee looked the better team for me. And Carson made a brilliant save. I can't remember who it was. It was a brilliant volley. A guy did a scissor kick volley, and I can't remember who it was now. And Carson got down. It was an unbelievably good save reaction and tipped it over the post. So. I would say, and then the save he made for one of the penalties, with penalty was pretty good. I would say it was pretty near the corner. It was hit with a bit of pace, and it's like a really astounding sort of penalty save. So he's been a massive for St Mirren this season.
Got a couple of notes for a couple of Dundee players. The centre halves both played well in this one. That was Ryan Sweeney and Lee Ashcroft. But most praise was deserved for Lyle Cameron. Coming off the bench, Dundee fans were particularly pleased with how he managed to show some, not only show some good energy coming off the bench, but actually showed some quality for a 20-year-old, which is always going to make you happy for somebody who's a midfielder. He linked play really well and managed to get himself in the box and had a couple of chances as well. So he was somebody that really caught the eye. Right, shall we move on to the next match? And that will be Ewan. Who have you got? What's your next winner or loser?
Well, staying on the topic of penalty saves, I suppose Ryan Fulton had another excellent penalty save in Hamilton's win. It's a surprise, maybe the biggest shock of the round, I would say, Hamilton knocking out Ross County. I mean, that is obviously the bit, obviously the biggest loser is Malky Mackay. as ever. I mean, that's, you know, I'm sure we'll go on to talk about Motherwell, but those are two games, of those two games, I thought, you know, those are obviously the two teams in the Premiership that are struggling the most, at Motherwell and Ross County. And I thought, if you look at those two ties, I thought, well, Hamilton, I don't have enough about them to knock out a Premiership team, but Arbroath, maybe, you know, at Gayfield, maybe they would. And it obviously went the opposite way around.
Gayfield, the coldest place in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you just think, no, we're not going to have that.
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas, you know, Hamilton is like, it's the definition of like, not a tough place to go, really. It's like, just
there's never a good atmosphere at Hamilton.
Yeah, exactly.
The away team's never going to be scared.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's on plastic, but it's like, well, that also actually just means that it's not easy, it's not that hard to play on. So yeah, I just I didn't really see that as too much of a been asking for Ross County, but they managed to slip on it regardless. They obviously had their chances, but it didn't look like they played that well, to be honest.
No, there's all possession and no cutting edge, really, again, because even the chances, like, there was only a couple that were like, and it wasn't like they missed many sitters, and to be doing that against an Aki side that got their first victory in God knows how long last week is just, a loser. Roy McGregor, you've been known throughout your time at County for being trigger happy with managers, but you got the money, you can pay them off, it's fine. Why are you not doing it with Malky Mackay?
I was going to ask this. We've got to this stage because it's always sounding like Malky Mackay's almost got that, given that vibe of almost doing County a favour, you know, that type of vibe. I mean, Neil Lennon had a bit at Hibs for periods. Your team down South Fowler, you get that with Antonio Conte at Spurs. It's almost like the man, and I kind of get that vibe with Malky Mackay in County, and he's always been thought of as his next move's going to be up the way, and he'd be poached rather than sacked. But get to the stage now where it's like, well, he's had to rebuild that team, and he's not done it well. And they look like in real, real relegation trouble. And where does Malky Mackay go for there? Because nobody, even though I think a lot of people have moved on from what the unpleasantness that happened previously, but as people don't really want to have Malky Mackay as their manager. I think it's a push. I don't think it would always be one of those he moves and it would be unpopular with a section of the support. And if he's not doing very well somewhere, then the chairman's not going to like risk that, you know, like making the fans unhappy when he's not really, when they will think, well, it's not really worth it. You got Ross County relegated. and then Malky Mackay's sort of just like hanging around. Nobody wants Malky Mackay just to hang around, do they?
No, no. That's Hibs' next director of football you're speaking about there, though, Tony. So,
yeah, yeah. I mean, I certainly wouldn't be surprised if something happened. And then you would hear me defending every message that he sent. I'd be getting a tattoo of a snake on my arm.
Yes, an effeminate snake.
It's just banter.
Yeah. He's.
That's me getting tattooed. Richard Keith's face. you need quite a big space for that, to be fair.
He's like the older he gets, he looks more and more like Hasbulla. Richard Keith. I love that. I know we shouldn't talk about other podcasts, but the football cliches, the keys in Grey Corner on that is just always absolute gold dust. Just what a duo they are. What a duo. They're incredible.
You can probably get a punditry gig over and be in sports, Malky. But it does feel a bit like he, you know, I think maybe he thought last season should have been enough to get him a better job. And it hasn't happened, and he's like just hanging about. And Ross County as a club just seemed to have forgotten how to win games completely, and you know they didn't even really remember the Motherwell game recently. They didn't even really like try to win that. And
I would also say that Hamilton are a club that seemed to have forgotten how to win games, because they win a game, and it was actually weird. I thought at the end when Andy Ryan scored the decisive penalty, and the Hamilton team celebrated like they'd won a penalty shootout in the League Cup group stages.
Yeah.
Like, I thought there was a really few. Really, looked like they just knocked off a top flight team. We were on the way to the next round of the cup.
I thought that was a few of the penalty shootouts. Actually, there were
the muted celebration.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's because obviously we've just been watching the World Cup, and you know, and everyone goes bananas, you know, when there's a penalty shootout in that. But yeah, I thought there was a few muted non-celebration penalty shootout. But it's like, that's, you know, you should be going a bit more for it than that, I would say. But yeah, that was and Andy Ryan now is apparently off to Larne.
And that's what I was going to say. Yeah. In order to win football games, you need to score goals. So get rid of your best striker. It's quite something. So I'm just going to read some of the
just off. They just beat Morton, then they knock Cook out of the cup, and then do that. It just seems like wow. There was some great shoots of recovery and John Rankin, and maybe they're getting somewhere. Then that's just like turned the gun and shoved it in their mouth.
So I'm just going to read out some of the replies from Hamilton fans to the tweet from Ake saying he's been sold. I'm sorry, what? What the actual fuck? This is beyond stupid. This club are heading towards the gutter. I'm close to giving up. The exact point, we have never needed goals more and our best scorer gets punted to somewhere else. What kind of backward shit is this? Been crying out for a striker, now we chuck our best and are supposedly bringing an inexperienced 20-year-old. Fucking hell, this club.
Oh man, even because they sort of stayed in the league for so long, that's sort of like a good thing, and it was. But as I've always threatened to do, me and Duncan Mackay, to create the definitive pound for pound worst team to support in Scotland, and I think Ackies are starting to move into that territory along with Dundee and possibly Hibs.
And finally, from somebody who calls themselves Andy Ryan enthusiast, we watched him play for the last time and never knew. Fuck's sake.
That's why didn't he celebrate. He was born. He can't, he's fucking off. He's not going to play in the next round.
Your else might not be playing in the next round. This is obviously breaking news, but have you seen the score, by the way?
No. What?
Darvel 1, Aberdeen 0, as it stands.
No way!
Not Darvel, yeah. Mum.
I'm just like, yeah. Fucking hell, I'm actually like, I'm just like, bloody yes. Hell, George and Kirkpatrick.
Yep. So hopefully remains the same.
Who's this regen?
I've heard of him. Who do you used to play for? Oh, yeah, Alwa.
So... Jim Goodwin does look a little bit like a White Walker, and he is looking like he's going to be dead very soon.
Oh, well, so he might not survive Teesside Road, that'd be excellent if it stayed
that
way.
Then we'll be looking for a fucking manager at the same time as Aberdeen. No! Nobody wants
go for
that.
The same one.
Exactly. We'll share him. Share him. Does Petondre one week and does Teesside Road the next, like an old-fashioned 80s football fan.
yes.
Right, excellent. Okay. I'm going to chuck out a loser here, and I'm going to go for Effie Ambrose.
Yeah.
Because not only did he give away, not only did he produce a Effie moment at his former ground and the club that he thanked for putting him on the map. I mean, I kind of thought that was like the pinnacle of his career, which is kind of a weird thing. Usually you thank a club for kind of like putting you on the map when you're then like, if he'd started at Morton and then ended up at Celtic, like Morton put him on the map. Yeah. But the other way around. Like, I don't know how much sense that makes, but
he ended up at Easter Road playing in a fucking great team, and that was the pinnacle of his career. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he had a good song about him as well. He was at fault for the second goal, but this was after he was penalised for a incredibly harsh handball award, which gave Celtic lead. It was a decision that wasn't given by the official, but it was looked at by VAR. Kevin Clancy was told to go over and have a look. Incredibly, at least two officials thought this was a penalty.
That's what makes it worse. That's like, what makes it worse. Two individual men think that's a penalty.
Because I don't even think you can say, I think harsh is the wrong word.
I should say, just for the people at home, Celtic won 5-0.
Yeah, but I think it's just wrong. Like in terms of the rules, like I don't think it's like it's not one of those I'm sort of one of my hobby horses at the moment is that I think there are too many, there's just too many handball penalties, and they need to have a look at it because it's actually sort of skewing football in a way that's not correct, and you know it doesn't really have a bearing on you know, on how a game's played, and it's sort of introduced sort of an element of chance which is like borderline unfair, but. That even with the current rules, which I think are wrong, that is not a penalty. It's not. So, because you're meant to take into consideration like how quickly, you know, something, what sort of space you have for it to react to it and stuff. And you can't even see it. It's behind them. Like, how can he possibly, you know, react to that? And it's just, I don't think it's a penalty in the rules whatsoever. And
I can't believe when it was even getting, like, a VAR check.
I was just a complete nonsense for that to go to a VAR check. So, I think it's wrong. I mean, the officials should be getting penalised for that in some way, because I cannot believe that they would actually stand behind that now, having seen it again. But what did they
think? That's a walk of shame.
I don't
need something like that. Eh? Shame. Everyone in the stadium gets to do it. They have to do it the old fashioned. They get tomatoes chucked at them, and they put their hands and their head in the little thing, and everyone, kids get to chuck tomatoes at them at the next game at the week.
Yes. Well, maybe. I mean,
yes, I accept that. Yes.
Okay. No, and that is obviously, that's the annoying thing with VAR, because you could. It's one of those where if that happened in real time, you'd be like, why is he giving that as a penalty? And you're like, oh, maybe he didn't see how it happened. He just saw it hit a hand. But when you've had the benefit of replays, what on earth are you looking for there? And seeing it's just a joke. I mean, would it have changed the outcome of this game? Absolutely not.
Moran were playing well at the period, though. They got him behind a couple of times. They created a pretty good chance before that, and they were looking, and Celtic weren't, like, I mean, I don't think Morton were going to win, but it did for them at that period. They were performing well, and they were actually getting into Celtic's box and causing them some discomfort. So it's just like, as you're saying, that ruins it. If we're going to have the chance thing, let's give it to the shit teams to make it fun for everyone to watch, rather than these chants, and it ends up going for fucking Celtic. Even though there'll be Celtic fans tell you now that they were only given that dodge pellet in the cup against Morton to try and throw everyone off the scent of the conspiracy theories from the SFA or the SPFL or whoever else they think.
Yes, the protesting
the
group
deep state.
The protesting group stand up for Celtic, which I'm sure is just one pimply faced loser in his basement.
Yes, but no, to be fair, like I didn't really see any Celtic fans. I didn't think were at it. Say it wasn't. But I mean, they all thought it was a joke as well. So it's just, I think everybody can just sort of accept that that's not, you shouldn't be a penalty, isn't a penalty actually, and how on earth he gave us a penalty is just beyond me.
Another winner for that, maybe Aaron Moy, who got another couple of goals. And
I had him down.
Because I started thinking now that Moy, I questioned the signing. I just didn't see what it was really going to bring for Celtic. I thought it was like just kind of a stopgappy signing that they probably didn't really need. But I think he's done it quite well, Postecoglou, is that he gave him time to get to grips with it, and he just used him sparingly at the start, and let him, because I didn't think he was particularly fit, and he's got him there, and now he's not a stopgap at all. You're starting to think, is Aaron Moy actually? Yeah, is he like in the starting? If they would consider their sort of best team, I would say he's very close to probably being in it.
Yeah, I think it would be. I think the World Cup's probably done him the world of good, because he played very well in the World Cup, and you know, he's obviously probably Australia's main man, considering the rest of the team's made up of like Sabirin and Arts players, wouldn't be that difficult. So yeah, I think he probably was Australia's best player, and I just wonder if you're being the sort of main man in a team that does well on the world stage, like that has to be good for your confidence. And he's come back and he's so, you know, looked like almost like a kind of
player.
Well,
he's keeping Jimmy Jago out the Australia team, so he must be absolutely incredible.
Speaks for itself. So yeah, exactly. I think, I mean, the only, if you wanted to put a negative slant on it, which obviously I would love to, is him keeping Matt O'Reilly.
Well, mental gymnastics is coming here.
Bear with me. I'm keeping Matt O'Reilly. You know, Matt O'Reilly's obviously a bit more of an asset for Celtic. So if you keep him out of the team, then you know, I just thought I was really impressed with O'Reilly, obviously last season and most of this season, and thought he would be a guy that Celtic would sell for money. But if he drops out of the team, then maybe slightly less so. But well, it's obviously early days, and he could get back in the team. This might just be a wee purple patch for Moy, but yeah, that would be one sort of one thing to look at is how happy O'Reilly will be if he is out of the team for a sort of sustained period.
Right, well, we quickly throw out one final game before we move over to the Patreon, and that'll give us four left to touch upon. So I would say the winner for the end of this weekend, Chris Geddes, the Stirling University manager, who just looked the happiest man in the world.
Aye.
Just to be there, just to be at Tara, to take his team to Tarradice, to give a good account of themselves, to nearly end up goalless at the end of the first half. They were a minute away when Aziz Behic managed to turn and fire the ball into the roof of the net, which gave United the lead. But even in the end, the roof didn't fall on them. They managed to battle well and still limited United across the 90 minutes. And to go away from home to a top-flight side as a lowland league team and to produce that kind of performance, no wonder he's smiling, even though his team lost.
Yeah, the heartwarming stuff, you'd say.
And it was a loser for the rest of us, I would say, because it's the worst kind of result in that fixture. Because it's not like... It's not like 10-0, where you're like, oh, bloody hell, you know, you put 10 goals past them. Oh, I know it is a lower league side, but that's quite weird and funny. And it wasn't even like 1-0, where you're like, oh, God, United, Jesus, I made really kind of hard work of that. And it wasn't also, you know, an upset. So we were kind of, the rest of the public were screwed a little bit, but still.
Yeah. There showed some decent touch. I can't remember who it was. One of the midfielders, maybe is it Jarvis or Stokes, possibly, for Stirling. But they had like a really good run, and then he sort of, I mean, the shot sort of trundled wide a wee bit. But he looked like a sort of Premiership player for that brief wee run. So I'd be interested to see if any of these guys, you know, what they do with their sort of football careers after, presumably after they leave.
Okay, I think that'll do it. Thank you very much, guys. Ewan, thank you very much.
No problem.
Tony, thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure, Craig.
And thank you to everybody for listening. And as I've said a couple of times on this show already, if there is your team has been in action in the Scottish Cup this past weekend, and we have not mentioned them, unless you support Aberdeen or Darvel, then we will be getting to that on the Patreon, where we've still got four games to get through. So that's patreon.com/terracepodcast, and that is going to be on the tier that is only £2 per month. Right, that's it. Until next time, I hope you enjoy your football. Goodbye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.